several pictures about Estonia through the eyes and camera of American, who has been to Estonia three times within 10 years. So maybe you just look the first part, and then there's one small part then that I might give some explanations to some pictures. So please.
So that's the end of the music, but you want to talk through some things, okay?
So you can see map of, I don't know, it's Europe and Asia. You can see this Estonia is a small piece of land here with two big islands. We have really 800 islands, but these are two big islands. So. This is an old map. You can see the Estonian SSR. We are very happy that we don't have this anymore. We have just Republic of Estonia. And these are our biggest cities. This is our capital, the biggest city, and one-third of people, inhabitants, live in Tallinn. This is Narva, and this area is inhabited very much by Russians, mostly by Russians. These cities, there are mining cities and industrial cities, and they work in factories and in mining. This is a university city. Our university was really founded, begun in 1632. So I think that Columbus was not arrived in America. And this is was a very nice resort town in the old times. And was some time ago, but now this bay is very much polluted. It's no good to swim there. So, and these are our islands. This is a kind of a holy place for us, because I can say that the Estonian culture and Estonian character and nature has much more kept and reserved on the islands. The island people are more open and more natural and more kind, and also here you can find still some villages where, and even in the cities, that people do not lock the doors, like here, just everything is open. Before 1940, all over Estonia, well, in the country, people did not lock their doors. There was no use. And the churches were open, and very much, but in 1940, when Russians came in, everything changed, and we had to lock the doors. And now we make more and more locks and all kinds of alarms and so on. You have a question?
I don't. Is there much travel from Helsinki to Finland now? Can you travel?
Yes, we have many ships that come and
passenger ships.
Yes, an airplane comes from Helsinki in 30 minutes, and ship takes. It different. The ships are different. Some are quick and some are slow. 1 hour or 3 hours. So, and it's very, very. The ships go also, and the airplanes go to Stockholm and to Germany, to Hamburg. Also, the planes go to Hamburg and Budapest.
What's the population of Estonia?
This is written when we take this away. This is written on the board. So I think this is a picture, I think it's taken from the airplane, just down.
Yeah, the outside of Tallinn.
It's outside of Tallinn. I don't know the place, really. This is Hotel Tallinn, one of the this is the first interest hotel that was built into Estonia, into Tallinn, that when we began to accept more foreign guests.
Because this is where the group that I was with stayed, the Holda village would begin to prepare you to live here, simply.
So you can see there's a big plateau up. Tallinn is an old city, and it has a downtown and uptown. And uptown is on the hill, and you can look down on the city. And yet there you see our highest church, our biggest church. It's it has been Lutheran church, but for several years it's now used by Baptists. This is also up down, up the hill, and this is the place that where tourists very much go around, and this you can see again the Russian market. The Russians come from St. Petersburg mostly, and they put their pictures out and they sell them only for hard currency, not for rubles, mm-hmm. only for to the tourists. So, and it's still cheap for the tourists, so many buy them. Estonians don't do like these things. They usually use the shops or to sell their things. They don't come out the street to sell their pictures. Of course, they sell vegetables and flowers very much on the streets, and many other kinds in the market. But not like that. They just go to one place and make their market. Well, this is a very personal picture. It's not very well seen. That's a kind of monument, and the house is really being repaired. It doesn't look very nice. This is the house where I've studied for 4 years. Drama, and this is a monument to my teacher who is dead for several years already. He was a very outstanding theater person, and very educated and very 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 good man. This is one of our oldest churches in Tallinn from the 13th century, Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit Church. This is also a quite small church. It's not a very big church from inside, but it has been a city church, and it has been an Estonian church from a very long time ago already. So this is the field for the song festivals that maybe you have heard. Estonians have very big song festivals, so you can see it's really very big, and it's the choir singers are all here. They're different. They're first there are male choirs, then female choirs, then children's choirs, boys' choirs, and then there are all together, so that every festival ends with all the choirs singing together, and then this is filled absolutely. So there are so many of these choir singers, and this field is always also absolutely full of people, of audience.
Mama, is the song festival every spring, every year?
There is some song festival every summer. Sometimes male choirs, sometimes female choirs, sometimes some special festival, but usually this all over, so that all come together. It's in every 4 years. And the first song festival was 1869. And from this time, it has been every year. But and also every song festival, it was very much put together also the religious repertoire, so that almost half of the songs were religious songs, and this was prohibited in the 1940s, and so that people had to sing very many songs about Lenin and the Communist Party, praising the Communist Party. And also they had always to include the songs in Russian language. So, and sometimes it sounded very funny, because Russian language is very, very strange to Estonian people. It's absolutely different. We don't have, for example, the zzzzzzz like that. And most Estonians cannot pronounce them. So they just say S instead of Z or Sh, and it sounds very funny. And the people who are singing in the choirs, they just made fun of it, about singing the praise to Lenin. So nobody really thought it in the heart. Nobody really respected Lenin. This is near Tallinn, and old ruins of Saint Birgitta Monastery. It came from Sweden. And this was destroyed in the course of some peasants' revolt once. was burnt, and now it's well, it's not being rebuilt because it's a very big work, but it has been rebuilt so that the walls stand up and the premises around it are restored so that you can see where just it's not the building, but just you can see where some rooms were. So it's a very interesting place to see, and also very rare thing that we have had such a big monastery, nunnery, really. No, there were both nuns and monks in this community. Oh, this is a seemingly a very pious Lutheran standing in front of the ruins of St. Birgitta Monastery. I think I was trying to make fun. This is a picture of chicken. This is a picture of Tallinn street, and this was the day before the money exchange came, the money reform, when Russian rubles were taken away and our currency crowns were taken into, well, and you see there's a big how you say, city market, where you can buy all kinds of food, yeah? The big one, the biggest one in Tallinn. And there's a big, big, big line, and it goes on and on and on. So people were waiting in the line so that to buy for many days, many things that they can buy also, and to spend money. Because for every person, the family could change only 1,500 rubles. And we didn't know how much we get and what will you be the rate of exchange, and we didn't know. It usually happens so when the money exchange, or then also the things become more expensive, and so it really appeared to be. So things got to be more expensive, and of course not everyone had this 1,500 even. I could change for two people 3,000 rubles, but I had only 1,500 and a bit more, so a bit more I gave to my brother. So it was, well, somehow it was done. You see, this is the same pastor from the South Estonia, and there is a door to the Lutheran Church consistory. This is like our church government house. And also in the same building works the Theological Institute for Lutheran pastors. So you see, there has been a sign, and there has been a sign. We have two signs because we had always to have all the signs, one in Estonian and one in Russian, so that the Russians could understand it. So one is in Estonian and one was in Russian. They were stolen. Because they were bronze,
brass.
They were brass, and just now we have in Estonian very big tendency that the people steal all kinds of colored metals and sell them abroad, so as to make money. Many statues have been stolen and destroyed, and crime is just on a very high point just now, because. I think it's always when one system changes for another system, these people who don't have any conscience, they try to use it, try to take advantage of it, and get the more to themselves. And also we can say that there are several politicians who are trying to take advantage of their position and collect more treasures or more Well, to be more rich than others. Okay. This is just a building outside of Tallinn. You can see a little. That's a district where the new apartment houses are built, and that's a very, very big district. And all the houses are almost like that. They are almost in one, like boxes, like little boxes. Well, and people live there, and mostly the Russians live there, because We had a plan that how we built very many apartment houses, and we could keep only 20% of these apartments to Estonians, because the government said that, well, Estonians all had some kind of homes. They didn't care that their homes were maybe very small for big families, or the homes were houses were old and without any convenience. We have many houses, and many people live in the apartments where they don't have even cold water, not to speak about hot water, or two bathrooms that I have seen in America. So, I can also add just here that many Russians who live in Estonia now, they are complaining that Estonians are nationalists and they are oppressing Russians. So I don't know, maybe you really did take too much to Estonians at 20%. Maybe we should have taken 2% or give all to them. So, okay. Well, this is difficult to explain. It's not very well seen. It's just in the center of the city. There are ruins of big houses. There was a hotel, there was an apartment house, and there was a cinema. And it was bombed when Russians came to free us from German occupation in 1944 or 1945. So they really did not have any need to bomb, because they had already won, the Germans. But somehow it happened so that they wanted to bomb. So they throw bombs around Tallinn. And one place was also the theater. The theater didn't burn all. And also people, there was a performance going on, and also people and actors were killed. And many people were left without homes. So it was a very, very difficult night. The old people have told stories about these things. And now there are these letters, written what has happened there. So you can see we had the last time we had very many hard currency shops. All kinds of small shops were closed, and they were built into the hard currency shops. This is a kind of mystical system. How did they arrange it and organize it? But there is a rumor that many owners of these hard currency shops were previous KGB people. So that, using their old connections, they could climb on the green branch, as we say, again. So that, and I can say that many party leaders are just now working in many companies, also in many international companies. So they really are living, I think, quite well. They're just people who can take advantage of every social system, because they don't have anything of their own.
What do they mean by hard currency?
Hard currency for us, I'm sorry, this is all foreign money. This is the currency that you can change in every country. Mm-hmm. So this is German, Finnish, Swedish, American, Dutch, switch, all these kinds of.
Does that mean they sell with only hard currency?
Yes.
Or they're not selling currency?
They sell only for hard currency. So that
it's English.
We couldn't buy anything for rubles in these shops.
If it's written in English, is that odd? Why is it written in English?
Well, yes, of course. And there were many hard currency shops that had all foreign products or foreign things to
rabbit.
Yeah, all kinds of things that you can also buy in Finland, for example, and they were brought from Finland. And from the day that the Estonian currency came they changed it. Now we have only stone and crown. You cannot use any hard currency, any foreign money. You can only go to the bank and change it into the crowns, and then use only the crowns. So now these shops.
I think what he was really asking is why was not that in Estonian instead of English, but that was strictly for tourist trade.
Yes, it is for tourists because many people in Estonia also have hard currency because they are many are working abroad now. Many are working in the international companies, so they are the companies together with half Finnish of half Estonia, so that they can get paid in Finnish currency. But our people know so much of the foreign language, so that they always know what it is. This is the line in the morning, very early morning, when the currency was changed into crowns. These people are waiting to change foreign currency into crowns. So they are standing in line. We had also with the American group, we had to wait more than 1 hour so that the people needed money, and this was the only place that they could change the dollars to crowns. Yeah.
So how long did this process take? Or did the Estonians know that this was going to happen a year before it happened, or 6 months, or 2 months? I mean, how do they just all of a sudden make new currency?
We knew it some months ahead, but we didn't know when it comes. And we did know it for certain, or maybe the same week, when it was going to be changed. But people knew that it would be happened. But, they were speaking about some month or May or June or so, and it happened in June. So, we read this beforehand, some days.
I would say that, because I happened to be there that week, for Americans it was very strange. We get used to, you know, the media just has everything available, and you know with great specificity when something is going to happen. But Estonia only has a million and a half people. It's not a really very good. It's about the size of San Diego County, where I come from. So it was very low key. A lot of rumors on the street. People said, "Well, we think it's going to be Saturday." Listen for the radio bulletin. The radio was saying very soon. We're not exactly sure. And then it was only like one or two days before they said, "Yes, for certain, Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, you can go to the banks, and the new money will be available." But I think that the money had been printed over a year in advance.
It has been
printed in the United States. Is that what I heard? Or somewhere?
Somewhere abroad. I think in Sweden or Germany. I don't know. I don't remember. Or England. England. So I will show you afterwards when we put on our lights. I will show you there some notes, bank notes. Okay. So this is also a very significant old ruins of Vik Cathedral. Vik from how do you say it? Middle Ages. It has been a bishop's residence, a bishop's cathedral. Now a part of it is restored, and that was for several years. There was a university library in. I have also been studying there inside, and now it's a museum. The other side. This is just ruins. So it's built of bricks, and it's really very big. And I'm really very sorry that it's only ruins. Gothic. This is Gothic style. So you can see there's a pastor again holding the two crown note. There's on two crown note. There's the same man who is sitting up there in the statue, and it's a very famous biologist, medical scientist, and he's a very outstanding person. He was German, of course, and our medical students now, when they graduate the university, then everyone has to wash his head. Well, because the birds fly over. And they like to sit on his head.
I would add, for an American, it was interesting to me that the people that are on the new Estonian money all seem to be like a biologist. There are poets and academic literary figures. And if you look at American money, they're all pretty much politicians or military heroes, you know, Grant and Jackson and Lincoln and Washington.
We just don't have so many of them, I think.
Yeah. I think you have to like a country, though, that puts poets on their money.
Well,
very
international.
Yeah. I should just add, I had a chance to participate in a worship service when I was there. That's why I have the preaching gown.
Yeah, he was good. He showed Americans a very good ability to preach. He really made a very good sermon. So was the choir again singing. And it's an old, what do you say, the house? Mansion? No. State? Mansion, yes. And there's a school inside now. It's from the last century at least. So this is again the Midsummer Night Choir. People are celebrating around the fire, and the 15 Americans were part of it, so they could see it with their own eyes, and they could also taste Estonian beer. And they seemed to like it. That's a church again. Estonian oldest churches are built in just in the very beginning of the 13th century. And most of the churches are from 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th century. So the newest church we have, I think it's it's a small church, and it's built in 1930 something. And some new churches are built in the beginning of our century now, and we call also a new church what is a bit more than 100 years ago, 100 years old. So that usually our churches are very old.
Is Estonia similar to, say, Sweden, where they have a... The state is part of... selects the religion?
We have much in common with the Scandinavians, with the Swedes and Danes and also Germans, because we have been under these people. We have been living under these people several centuries. So we have many words that have come into our language from German, Swedish, or Danish, or also we have very many customs, the same customs, but really our relative people are Finns. So that we have a similar language and much similar in the character. We are from one root, Finno-Ugric. And Hungarians are our relatives, but Hungarians are very much different because they are southern, and there's a joke, and their language is also different. There's a joke that Finno-Ugric nations came from the east, and Hungarians took all the consonants, and Finns took all the vowels. So I don't know what state for us. Took a piece of everything. So here you can see an Estonian graveyard. It's very typical. You see very much green, very much fern, very big trees all around, and every family has its own place for graves, and it's very often it's surrounded with or marked the place what it has. So, and there also you can see there are benches in this family place, and you can sit down and go there. And people take very much care of the graveyards. Usually, they look very nice and very beautiful. And as there are many big trees, so it's really a very peaceful place. And so you can go there and just feel that it's very silent and very peaceful. Very, very nice place.
What are those beautiful crosses made out of?
This is iron. These are very old crosses. These are several centuries old. These are just from... It's very typical for Estonian graveyards of these. Now they mostly use their stones for graves. Not anymore these iron crosses. So this is in every summer we have graveyard worship where we memorize our dead people, and all the people come to the graveyard, and there's a worship with sermon and with very many songs, hymns, with these hymns are about death and eternity and our life and so on. And also it's a kind of a day of mission, because many people who never go to church, they come to the graveyard worship because they just want to be with their relatives there. And so very often pastors have used it like so that they have spoken their sermon like more to the people who don't know very much about religion and church.
This is the last slide we have.
Last, okay.
I would say too that just experiencing this, it was very interesting, but it struck me a little bit like how we commemorate Memorial Day in the United States, although that has more to do with people who have died in service of country and so forth, but it was the same sort of town holiday, what you might experience Memorial Day like in Lake Wobegon or something, in this small village where this took place. It was rather similar to that.
I did it. I've never done it before. So here I have written some facts about I didn't write very many because we don't have very much time. If I had written all the facts that I usually write when I speak about Estonia, there are, well, very important things. This is the area of the whole Estonia. 45,000. No, it's not 45,000.
450.
And 1,576,000 inhabitants. Of them, about 1 million is Estonians. So we have about 30% of all Russians, Russian-speaking people. And it's in the cities we have. For example, in Tallinn, there's almost 50%. And in the country, there's about 90% Estonians, so Russians haven't liked to go to the country because, you must do a bit hard work in the country. Mm-hmm. You cannot live with just hanging around. Estonians have lived on this territory 6,000 years, so the historians say. And this people was free until 13th century. It was not a state, or it was just the groups of people. They lived in the certain areas. There, they had borders, and they had elders for every area, and they were very peaceful amongst themselves. So that they had very often the elders had a meeting. They came together and spoke about the things that were needed to be done together, They never attacked any other nation to get more land or something like that. But we had very many attacks from the east, so that the Russians very, very often came and robbed the villages and went back. From the 13th century, we have been under Danes, Swedes, Germans, Poles also for some time. And in 1700, there came Russians. There came Peter the Great and chased away the Swedes, who were our governors then. And we must say that this was the worst time began from the, well, being under the Russians, because it was quite, the old people say that they call it a golden age when we were under Swedes, because the Swedes didn't care very much to come to Estonia, and they just controlled, but there was quite much freedom. And also, as you see, the university was founded by Swedish King Gustav Adolf, and they also made very much for our education and development, so as also Germans. And the Germans, many Germans stayed to live in Estonia, and they called themselves Baltic Germans, and they still call themselves Baltic Germans. Very many of them left in 1939 when the Russians they were afraid of Russians coming in, and they went back to Germany, and very often they come now and visit their homes, and I have met them personally, some of them. So they really consider themselves Baltic Germans. And also many Germans, landlords. We had German landlords also in Russian times, and Russians kind of worked together with German landlords. And also I can say that Estonian people, very much of Estonian people was destroyed during the North War, during the Russian first occupation. So, and after all these hard times, Russians also tried to Russify Estonians. They wanted us to take an Orthodox religion instead of Lutheran, what we had. From the Reformation time, Estonia became mostly Lutheran. Somehow, I don't know, I think it was more acceptable to Estonian nature than the Catholic was. And also the Catholic religion was, at first it came very peacefully, and it was in the 11th century. But in the 13th century, German orders came in, Teutonic order came in with war. So that they said that they want to baptize us, and but they really wanted our land. And so many people turned away from religion because of the war, and they said that this God is no good who wants our land, not to give us freedom. So the Germans really spoiled the development of religion for several years. And somehow the Reformation was accepted, and also Reformation has done very much for developing Estonian education. I can tell a story that the weddings were taken place only through the church in the Reformation time. So that if you wanted to be married, you had to be confirmed. And if you wanted to be confirmed, you had to know how to read. So the pastor always said, "Do you know how to read?" "No, I don't." "Well, come here for about 2 weeks or so. We will teach you to read." So that in the beginning of last century already, we can say that there was about 90% of people who could read. And this is not the city people, this is not the educated people. This was just, Estonians were mostly peasants, and they could read. And also there were, they ordered newspapers, and they read the newspapers, and they read the Bibles, and there were printed many sermon books also, big old sermon books, books of sermons. And they read also the books of sermons at home. So, the first Estonian Bible in Estonian was printed, published and printed in 1739. This was the whole Bible. Before it was printed the New Testament, so that this work was going on for several years. And just so, and from 1918 to 1920, Estonia had a deliberation war. Estonia gathered together the army, about 90,000 men. And there were also about 4,000 volunteers from Sweden and Finland. And also many Estonians went to Finnish war, when Finnish had, Finnish people were war. And that was the time of war, and so Estonians fought against Germans and Russians. And I think it's a wonder that they won. They chased Russians away until St. Petersburg, almost, and the Germans also, they chased away. So, and from 1920 to 1940, that was on the map of on the map of world, there was a Republic of Estonia. And also, when I went to school, this period and this period was in the history, I learned that this was a period of very very bad life for Estonian people. It was a bourgeois government and very nationalist, and that simple people suffered very much during this period. And then Russians came and well, deliberated us from this very hard life. But really, that was a amazingly blooming time, because so many books were printed, so many books were translated, so many we had all Estonian textbooks for schools. The schools were developing, and well, I could say that we had a higher economy and culture than the Finns had at the same time. So, so I think this proves that Estonian people can be independent, and they can have their economy and culture, because this time, really, this war time, was a very difficult time, and Estonia was very poor, and we didn't have much economy and culture before it. So everything was built up during these 20 years. And I can say that this independence that we have now, this is this wouldn't have been if we didn't have, we wouldn't have these 20 years of independence. So so what proves it? Lithuanians, Latvians and Estonians, they had their own republic. But Belarusians well, all these other small countries or small nations who were included into Soviet Union, they didn't have this independence. They have been under Russians 70 years, and it's much more difficult for them to deliberate themselves from Russians than it is for us. Because when this we can say when the gates were open, then also, we can say many people say that Gorbachev is a big hero, and he's given very much to European people and to free the European people. But I shall say that it's absolutely not true. What he did was just a trick. It was a show off. The economy of Soviet Union was in such a state. We cannot say it a crisis. It was a catastrophe, so that they had to do something. And they had to show off that now our people, now we are going absolutely the new way, and now we are doing new things, and now we are on the right thing. All the new leaders of Soviet Party, of Communist Party, have said absolutely the same thing. The other guy who was before me, he was mistaken. He was bad. He led us to the swamp, but now I'm going to lead you further. Now we go the right way. And so they kind of tried to open the gate just a little, so that everyone can see that we have done very much, we have done now a very good deed. But really, there was water behind the gates. And this water pushed the gates wide open and came out. And you cannot call it back. We have also said that Gorbachev wanted to make some renewal and some new things. But our Estonian people, they are so naive and so foolish that they took it seriously. And also the thing that, now you can be more free and now you can decide yourself. And we began to act. We began to do it, what was said. But in Soviet Union, it's always been so that one thing is said, one thing is written down, and another thing is done. So... I have spoken so much, I will tell maybe a short joke about this. Gorbachev goes to the hairdressers to cut his hair. He doesn't have much, but some. He sits down and the hairdresser asks him, "Well, what's going on in this Baltic states, Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia?" Gorbachev is very cross, says, "It absolutely does not interest me." He cuts and says again, "Well, what's going on in this Estonia and Lithuania and Latvia?" "It absolutely doesn't interest me." "Well, what's really going on in this Latvia and Lithuania and Estonia and all the Eastern Europe?" "Well, I can say you, I have said to you, and I say once more, it does not interest me." "Well," says the hairdresser, "doesn't very much interest me also, but it's very good to cut your hair when they are standing up." So, we have many jokes. There's another thing. During all these 50 years, absolutely all the areas of our economy and culture were controlled. So that there were ministries, there was a big house of 14 or 16 floors full of offices for Central Committee of Communist Party. And the Central Committee of Communist Party had a big office for every branch of economy or agriculture or culture, every branch. And the people were they were giving directions, and they were controlling if the directions are fulfilled. But they didn't think out the directions themselves, because they always got the directions from Moscow. So everything was really led from Moscow. Our newspapers, magazines, TV, radio, concerts, music, song festivals, even folk music, everything absolutely. Theaters, cinemas, everything was checked. So if a theater, for example, had a new performance coming out, then there came a person from Minister of Culture and there came the person from Central Committee of Communist Party. So these two checked if it is okay And if they saw something dangerous, something that must not be said out to people, then they said, this play doesn't go out. You just put it aside. And it happened. It happened many times. Also, all the literature was what was published was checked. And I can say also that it's a typical thing that socialist or communist system always preferred average people. So that a very smart person or a very talented person is always dangerous because he doesn't obey. Because he's connected with something else and he gets his talent or his information somewhere else. So he doesn't obey these communist leaders because he understands that they are foolish. But the average people who want to go up on their career, they are obedient and they accept the rules. And so they have always been more wanted by these. Well, I could speak just endlessly. I don't know. Maybe I sing some songs. I'll sing a very simple song. It's a kid's song about home. I think this gives a good picture about Estonian nature. It's, we have very old songs and very simple.